the homemaker walks miles every day, from sink to icebox, from cupboard to stove, and from kitchen to dining table.
No love, dress up!
We just want to have fun. It's NOLA Trash Talk, January 22nd, 2016. I am the Prophet Joshua.
I am Steve McJeezy.
And we are once again here. Lovely lovely weekend for marching, as they say.
Right. I would have enjoyed Let's Hear It for the Boys instead of that one.
No.
Instead of that little diddly.
No, I got to play both sides here.
Right.
I got to show my support for the ladies.
Understandably.
So this has been an interesting week in New Orleans.
Wow. Just a whole week of fun.
We're not going to be political, much like we disclaimer ourselves out of talking about sports too much. Not a political Rush Limbaugh kind of, let's make the country mad so everyone listens to us.
But you will hear the tone in my voice sway to one side.
Yeah. We are more fans of entertainment.
Right.
Anything that just like, any buffoonery on television.
Anything that can be clowned on should be and will be.
And when lots of people march around the city it would be like if today, I compared this last night at the bar. If the Packers were to lose to the Falcons today, then the Falcon and Packers fans who lost marched through Green Bay with signs. You know, that last call was pass interference. You know,
pretty much.
Oh, he had that reception. It's like, yeah, but it's over, and you know, get over it. Anyway, NOLA Trash Talk, episode 131. Happy Sunday. Beautiful weather today. I think it's in the mid-60s at the moment.
It's perfect.
It's not in the 80s of January, as it has been, making me wish for death. So on top of our inauguration presidential, all hail our new God Emperor.
So I took a half day on Friday, and I watched the whole inauguration, and I was all up in Twitter, and let me tell you something. Twitter is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. When it came to this, I was so happy to have Twitter. The memes coming out, the videos. Donald Trump in his speech gave a similar speech that Bain gave.
I heard about the video. Yeah,
the video is so. Whoever did that first is a genius. Because I don't know who dubbed the video, because Donald Trump said, you know, we're giving it back to you, the people. And then the cut goes right to Bain. He goes, we're giving it back to you, the people.
Wow.
So whoever thought of that is genius. It was so funny.
I was talking last night about social media and presidential elections. And I was talking to this woman. She's like probably 10 years older than me. And she's like, I don't remember it being like this in the 2008 election. And it was like, the only difference I can tell is that Facebook. Now, if you go back in internet metrics, about like spring 2009 is when Facebook crossed MySpace. Like MySpace was sloping down in web traffic.
Oh.
And Facebook.
MySpace was still killing in 2008?
Yeah, it was in 2009. You got to think, like, for people our age, yeah, we were already ahead of the curve. But we're like the older people,
I guess,
and other people jumping on. So 2009 was really the marker when it crossed MySpace web traffic and went straight up.
Right.
So this really is the first presidential election where you have just so much jargon on social media.
Right.
And the other point we made was, if you got off Facebook and Twitter, if you just unplugged everything and you just went to work, came home every day, maybe you just even watched movies, didn't even watch the news, you'd have no concept of any outrage. Like, say you just read newspapers or something.
Right. You would not have.
You would have no clue. You would have no inkling that people were this angry.
You would not.
It's kind of like an echo chamber.
Well,
I
imagine that the major publications are going to cover the D.C. protest.
But I'm talking about people getting online in the morning, you know,
right,
getting a cup of coffee, logging on to their Facebook, and then the first like 30 things in their newsfeed are people crying end of the world. And it's going to, like, you know, I guess if you're not too hardened, it's going to affect your mood that day. If that's how you start. Microphone issue solved.
Sorry about that. So if that's if that's all you're exposing yourself to, go ahead.
The world's going to seem like it's ending.
Right.
But it's not. It's like and Facebook is this big echoing room of people screaming about nothing for no reason.
This quick aside here. Do you know who Jay Williams is? He was a former basketball player. He played for Duke. He played for the Bulls.
No.
He had I'm going somewhere with this. He had a career-ending motorcycle injury where he tore his groin apart like 10 inches. He ripped his hip up.
Have you mentioned this on the show before?
Possibly.
Sounds familiar.
But he was on a radio show that I listen to a lot, and he's an ESPN contributor. But what he was saying about this election is that what he was trying to do is he was trying to start up a sort of like a uniting kind of deal of why are young people so divided. So they started doing auditions for people to be on a political talking show, right? Mm-hmm. And he said the first 5 days of auditions, they couldn't get anybody that was worth a damn because they were getting all their information from Facebook. That's like he didn't go into depth about it, but he said, like, if you rely on Facebook for your information, you will be uninformed, misinformed. If you rely
on any single channel,
right,
one website, one news show, everything is, it's completely, I don't even know where if someone said, go find me the most honest information on this subject, some kind of like political hot button thing.
Can't.
I'd be like, I
can't.
It's like, even if I was getting like a college political like journal article or somebody wrote a thesis on.
Can't.
I still can't believe what this guy wrote.
I'm telling you, it's impossible to do, but I wish I could have had picture-picture with both sound for CNN's coverage and Fox coverage. I was watching Fox coverage just because I didn't want to hear CNN jargon about it. I just would rather, you know, hear Fox's jargon about it, even though they're completely slanted as well. But it's the same story, and if you receive it from two different networks, you will receive a different story.
Yeah. So here, I didn't watch the inauguration. I don't know what happened. I was at work or came home later, whatever. And there's the joke. Why wasn't that many people at Donald Trump's inauguration? Because they were at work.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
hilarious.
So I did turn on like a live stream because we don't have cable at the house. So I just put on some kind of new show just to see what was going on, and just like laying in bed listening to it, figured I'd catch a speech or whatever, but I missed all that shit. He was doing his signing in the applications of all the cabinet members.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only, all I could hear is this kids at the table. Just like grabbing the pens and like blah blah blah.
Like his son?
Yeah. Well, whoever they are, like two of them, and I was like, "Would please get the fucking kids out of the
kids
room,
out of here." Yeah.
I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, get him on camera, get him next to him. Make him look like a grandfather, like dad figure. That's good. I know, I understood that.
That's
but
weird.
Then the kids are just bah 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 bah, and they're like, "Give me the pen."
Right.
Give me the-.
And they're like 10 years old. Like, get
him
the hell out.
I felt
of
like
here.
I was at my like sister's house. Can we just put them in a room and just lock the door and not bother the adults, please?
Couple comments. So
that was my takeaway from the inauguration.
The visual.
I hate children.
The visual was kind of weird because, you know, they announced, you know, President and Michelle, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and they come down to clap for him. And then they got the vice president, and he goes here, and he has, like, an opportunity to, like, shake people's hands and shit. And I thought it was funny how, like, selective they were in shaking people's hands, because really,
Is it like good game? Good game?
Yeah, good game. It's kind of like good that, game. You know, I know that you don't have time to shake everybody's hand, but like whose hand in the front two rows that you don't shake is going to feel slighted? Bruh, nobody gave Hillary any love. Just completely fucking ignored her.
Well, you said that thing also that was Bill Clinton checking out Trump's wife,
and he got,
and then Hillary busting him on
he
it.
He got got.
It's just ridiculous.
Does Slick Willie realize that the cameras are always on him?
You know, the more media expands into whatever media is, or coverage, or just guy with camera streaming to something, the more that goes everywhere, and you exposes, but makes it more obvious that the people that you're electing into office to quote unquote make your decisions are just people, figurehead people.
They're not special.
They were born into certain families, and that this was just the channels that they went to as they grew up.
Dude, he is just as big a scumbag as Donald Trump is. Yeah. Same thing. It's just the same thing.
And we all know the world is run by the oil companies and the banks.
And the banks.
Okay. Yeah. So the election doesn't really matter, but the millennials thought it did. So they marched throughout the city on it was like the Millennials March, whatever. Could have been just
and
like
there were marches, you know, all over the country. But the one in New Orleans started in Washington Park, which is in the Marigny. And it came all the way through to Marigny.
Up to Cater.
Up to Cater. And then
the marching route conveniently through several hundred bars.
That's where Dollar Dave and I actually ran into the parade. Now, normally I would be man on the street. You know how I like to do that. And I was going to do some commentary.
This is for the women's march, right?
Correct.
This is not the millennials march.
Oh, I can't remember what is what. It was all of fucking cunts. The only problem is that with the women's march, at least they did it the right way. They got all the permits, and they got the fucking police escorts, and they paid the fees and everything.
What did the millennials do?
Nothing. They should have got arrested because they didn't have permits for any of that shit. Well, shocker that a millennial didn't do his or her homework before getting an organized thing together.
I like
shocker.
The running joke for them is precious little snowflakes. Beautiful. So women's march, you went.
Right. I didn't exactly go.
You witnessed it.
I witnessed some of it. And I was going to bust out the cell phone just to get some coverage and then possibly heckle because I like to heckle. But I knew inside
ladies!
Me. Exactly. Exactly.
How could you not?
I guess that would have been too cliche, but
I'd been out there on a balcony just to do it. Look at all these ladies!
Right.
Then I would have gone home.
So we were walking down, and Dollar Dave, this is a quote from Dollar Dave. He goes, you know, I bet the Prophet could come down here and be a chameleon.
Both of you guys
do work.
For the listener, both Stephen and Dave are married.
Right.
Are nice adult, mature gentlemen.
Well, no. He looked at me and said, I bet the Prophet would come down here, be a chameleon, and do work. That's what he said. I was like, oh, absolutely he would.
Why is it? It's like the fourth time this week someone said I'm a lizard.
Yeah.
Is my reptilian skin showing through?
We wanted to go watch.
Hate this human form.
We wanted to go watch UCLA play Arizona college basketball. Phenomenal game, sidebar. But we had to walk through the lunacy of this march. And I wouldn't protest or march for anything in my entire life.
That's what I was thinking. This was probably Friday night. I got into a conversation of who'd you vote for. And I didn't vote to keep myself out of bar fights, right. More or less. And I come back to the same thing. Don't you care about any of the issues? Like, yeah, I care about getting rid of Obamacare, but I just don't believe that's ever going to happen because it's like impossible to. It's like weaning the world's economy off petroleum. It's like there's too many poor, sick people in America, and you can't maneuver any direction without looking like a giant piece of shit, either an individual or a company, by denying poor, sick people their care.
Right.
I mean, like you can back away from the situation and be like, oh, this is socialist. Why do we have to, you know, or universal health care, or everyone is biologically owed the right to health services just by virtue of being born. And I was like, so I disagree with all of this. And I've gotten to several insurance arguments again this past week because I deflect to that argument instead of the Trump argument because I don't care. And even though they said they're going to replace Obamacare or get rid of it as soon as possible, I just don't believe it.
But
that would be the only thing I'd march. I would go, oh, no. Would I even march in it?
No, you wouldn't.
Here's the thing. This is the root of all things I care about. Are you taking money out of my pocket? This, and I think any American would agree with this. Whether I'm being robbed, either by a guy in the street with a gun.
Right.
Or through some kind of administrative trickery.
Right.
With an insurance company or some other kind of thing, or physical harm. Because if you hit me with a baseball bat, stitches cost money, so that's all also technically robbing me.
But I think that you...
So that's the only thing I get passionate about, so I guess I'd march against, please don't take my money away.
Right, but I think that people listening to this should understand that
I would be Boston Tea Partying it up, though.
As cold-hearted as you are, I don't think that you believe that you shouldn't pay taxes. Ooh, or, you know, you like, I think that you don't like Obamacare because they forced you to buy something that you don't want, which is health insurance.
The forcing part is the mandate.
And that's where the people that live healthy lifestyles, like the prophet, that don't necessarily need health insurance, they're forcing you to buy something.
No, they laugh at you and they say, oh, all you young, invincible people think the same. Well, what if you get in a car accident tomorrow? What, you're just going to rely on other people? Here's a good scam for you. Force somebody to sign up for something. Force.
Right.
Now, every year, arbitrarily, you can raise rates forever.
Right. And it also, think about how many people are like you. Let's say it's millions. If you force millions of people like you to put money in the pot that you're never going to use, then who is it helping? And that's where the socialism comes in, and that's bullshit.
Yes.
Anyway, that's just a theory.
Okay, so on top of the marches and all the justice, there was lots of traffic problems this
year. That's what makes me upset about the march. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because your selfish fucking assholes think that you're going to accomplish something by shutting down streets in this city. You're not. There was a meme. It was like, you know, Trump rally on, you know, Friday. Trump gets in, and then march on Saturday, and then Monday, Trump signing papers, and then Tuesday, it's like disappointed woman, like back to reality. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, I mean, unless
we could do a meme that say shutting down streets, and then like women's march on Decatur, shutting down streets, black guy on the Crescent City Connection.
Right,
like, you've created equal amounts of.
So I mean, I mean, like I said, this is America, and I think it's great that they organized themselves. They got the permits. They did what they had to do.
Here's the thing. You can go to NOLA.com, and they do have little interview snippets with all these marching people. It says, like, you know, Jocelyn Robinson, 47. And then it has, like, her little interview blip. And a lot of the people they interviewed are older people, 60s, close to 70s people.
Right.
And they say things like, well, I marched against nuclear energy in 1983, and I marched against Vietnam and da-da-da-da. It's like, man, okay, you're a seasoned protester. Did anything you ever do accomplish anything?
No.
If anything, you should be the more jaded person who sits at home and be like, look at these waste-of-time protests.
Right.
I did that shit when I was 25, too. Nothing happened.
That's a good point.
The world marched on. We still invade countries for oil.
Right.
And it didn't matter.
You know, in their interview, like, so, you know, I – let's see. 25-year-old Steve would have absolutely gone up to some people and say – some women and say, what can I do that you can't? And they would have said, oh, my God, the wage gap, 70 cents on the dollar. Give me
already
some
busted that. Yep.
Give
yeah,
me some concrete evidence that supports that. It's the same pay for the same work. And if you're not doing the same work, you're going to get paid a little bit different.
Here's what I think of when it's like, oh, dethrone the patriarchy. All right, well, let's see. For the first, my first memories of life on this planet, women were telling me what to do.
They still are.
Mom and grandma.
Yeah, exactly.
Telling me what to do. Dad, never saw him. He was around, but I wasn't getting told what to do by him. It was mom and grandma. Then I don't think I had a male teacher until high school. So let's say the first 13 years of my educational experience were women telling me what to do. I don't know where this patriarchy comes from because I just had women. And you get a girlfriend, women telling you what to do. Get married, women telling you what to do. Where is the patriarchy here?
I don't know.
Because I feel like try to go out to a bar and get laid maybe once every millennia. Guess what? Not your decision. Women telling you what to do. She says you can come over. She says you can't come over. I am flabbergasted. At what point I'm the guy with the power in any of these scenarios?
I mean, if you want to say that men get paid more, you know, this, that, or the other, I'd like somebody just to do some independent research and say, look at the top Fortune 500 companies.
No, it's already been worked out. Right. Men take more dangerous jobs that pay more. Women tend to stay closer to home because of that whole, I don't know, biological issue of bearing children. That they really like to, like, a small portion of them forsake, you know, go get the surgery, go get a fake dick stapled on,
right,
and be a dude, and then go be a lumberjack, or go work on the boats that fish for snow crabs, and there's, like, you know, 100 fatalities every season. Go
But also, you know,
Drill up in just Montana.
Just playing devil's advocate here to give them the benefit of doubt. If that's going to be your main talking point, fine. You probably don't know economics. You don't know anything about fucking GDP or anything. That's fine. But what I really gets me is when you say, explain this. Donald Trump is a sexist, correct? Okay. What do you think about Bill Clinton? He was the greatest. Okay. Why did he have to settle 3 sexual assault civil cases before the year 2000?
Why? Okay.
Okay? And his wife tried to suppress the victims of his sexual assault. And that's the woman that is supposedly for women's rights. Wrong. She's for women's rights when it's good for her. When it's not good for her and her husband's under the fucking gun.
And also,
she tried to silence
him. While we're throwing Hillary against the wall here, she's been pushing the affordable care shit since the 90s. This has been an evil plot from her. I mean, that got surfed in with Obama, but she's been trying to pull the same shit since like 92. So, and if we want to go in history, like, didn't Thomas Jefferson have like half a dozen slave concubines? Didn't federal or FDR, right. Wasn't he having an affair with his like second cousin on Hyde Park on Hudson?
I'm saying you put these people on pedestals and they're just regular people like you and I, except they're part of an elite class and have billions of dollars.
The serious delusion here is or delusion or insane hope, I guess, that people think that their leaders, air quotes, are like these grandfather wisdom figures.
They're not.
Guess what? If you want that in your life, if you need that older, wiser person to look up to and just be the rock, look outside of the realm of politics. Maybe get into some new age religions, do some meditations, go on like a spiritual journey, drink some ayahuasca in Peru, and find your great wisdom spiritual masters that way, because the people that get paid by taxes aren't those people.
Right. And in all fairness, I mean, I could never be the president, ever. I could never, because all of the issues that our country faces right now, the only one I would know how to fix is tax shit. I would totally be like, education? Fuck out of here. I wouldn't know what to do with that. I don't even know where to start with that. But I guess...
Yeah, my opinion on education, it was on top of arguing about Obamacare, it was like, what? So, like, I bet you don't believe in free education for people. I'm like, I already got my education. I'm done.
Right.
If the door slammed behind me, I'm like, I don't know. It's like when you get into a VIP section of a bar. Well, I'm in. Fuck y'all. That's a common argument with, like, the ruling wealthy classes. If you think of Earth with a VIP section, yeah, they don't want more people in their VIP section. And neither do you when you're at a nice club or whatever, or you're in the skybox at a Saints game, and it's like, you know, this box is kind of getting crowded. I hope they don't let any more people into the box to have any more of our free food. You think the same things. Don't even try. Just like as soon as somebody gets one little stepping stool bit higher than the other person, it instantly looks down. It's like human nature. Fuck y'all.
Exactly. So
what do you think people move out of the ghetto once their album goes platinum?
Because they got to come up, you know? So, but yeah, so speaking of just, you know, the traffic, because let's get back to this. My man on the Crescent City did it again. We had another suicide.
2 straight weeks.
On the CCC.
If you missed this, it's everywhere. 2 straight weeks, suicides on the Crescent City Connection. First one's a jumper. Fucked up morning traffic. This one, not a jumper. This is a alleged, can we just say murderer? Murderer. Killed his pregnant girlfriend in Morawa, and then did a cop in the back of the head, too, which is really fucked up. That is awful. Cop pulled over to the scene like 5 in the morning. This was at Barataria, and I was doing the traffic reports, Barataria and Ames, and thought he was investigating a car accident, got out. The dude just ran up and shot the cop in the back of the head. Didn't see it coming.
Yeah, that was sad.
And that started a 12-hour manhunt chase, and somehow... I don't know how he did this, but he got onto the connection down on the girders, and then there was a big standoff thing with him hanging out, whether he's going to jump or turn himself in. Great way to, you know, basically advertise your guilt for the whole situation. and fucked up afternoon traffic for everyone going from the East Bank to the West Bank on Friday afternoon for a good many hours, and then eventually shot himself in the chest, somehow managed to Jedi mind trick himself back on the girder so he didn't fall in the water. What was your awful joke you wanted to...
I can't make
okay. it. Okay. Hashtag no splash, Captain. Didn't go in the water. So I guess he saved the police the trouble of a Mississippi River recovery. They had to rappel down like goddamn cliffhanger and get this chest wound dude up off the girder.
Was he dead when they got when? Or
no, he died. He died in the hospital later.
Yeah, I mean, if you shoot yourself in the chest, I mean, depending. Oh, I was talking to a doctor about this yesterday. He goes, a lot of people think your heart is like all the way over here to the left when it's actually right in the middle of your chest cavity. I forgot about that.
I think the guy didn't want to jump and the guy didn't want to like turn himself
in. So he probably shot himself in the left chest cavity and then you just got a hole through your chest and then now you're just losing oxygen and blood loss. Yeah. So that's probably how he died.
That's
a painful death, man.
He really didn't want to die because he would have did the headshot off the bridge, if anything. But yeah. And of course, I don't think the cops the SWAT team had him trained with fucking, you know, automatic weapons right there on him. I don't know if they knew he had a gun or not, because he kind of like crouched down in the corner, I think, when he shot himself. But anyway, that fucked up the traffic. He died in the hospital yesterday.
No, Friday night. Friday night. Early Saturday morning. Yeah. Yesterday, yeah.
And so I guess that does save the taxpayers, you know, all the money of keeping him alive when he convicted and went to prison. If you want to, put a positive spin on the story.
But see, now, as I told you before, that in New York, they started putting up these barriers so people couldn't jump. And I think that's so stupid.
Jurassic Park, baby. Life will find a way.
If
somebody wants
you.
To kill themselves, they will find a way to
but
kill themselves.
Don't let them jump off the bridges. I mean, I think there should be a door that says, if you want to jump off, just go through here.
One of my favorite jokes is in the beginning of Canadian Bacon. Remember with John Candy and Rhea Perlman, where they're out there by Niagara Falls, and their job is to retrieve the bodies of like the suicide jumpers, and like they get more money to retrieve the dead body than they do to convince the person not to jump. So they wait for they egg the people on to jump and then retrieve the body and get paid. Wow, go see Canadian Bacon. That's a great movie.
I haven't seen that.
Where they purposely start a war with Canada so the president's approval rating will go up.
Right. I haven't seen that movie in 10 years. Oh, really? I need to watch that again.
So, we had our jumper guy.
And then we had carve 'em up guy, the butcher.
Oh, my God.
That was rough. That was brutal.
So this dude is a Kenner man, but though the murder happened, I think, out in St. John Parish. Chopped up his roommate. Because his roommate was banging, I think, his ex-girlfriend. Here's what happened. The dude starts hooking up with this crazy Cuban woman. They've yet to show a picture of this woman. I want to know what the woman looks like. Who you get chopped up over.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think she's probably busted.
They break up. The dude leaves. This other guy comes in and moves into his spot or whatever, starts banging the guy's ex. The other dude shows back up again saying, oh, I need a place to stay. I've fallen on hard times. This bullshit line to get back into the house to launch his chop-up plan. Hacks the dude up in the house and then scatters the parts out on the canal off I-10.
No, in the spillway.
Oh, spillway.
Right, in the spillway. And the police they couldn't arrest him for like a year.
Yeah, the guy who gets chopped up, obviously missing, cops go to the house and go into the house, and they see blood splatter everywhere. And the quote from the article, it's on the NOLA Trash Talk Facebook page. One of the neighbors said the police were so incredulous of the amount of blood that an investigator had asked the woman who lived with Portales whether anyone had ever butchered meat or killed an animal inside the home.
That's
some straight up Louisiana shit.
Right.
It's like lots of blood in the house. Oh, you guys are just chopping up a deer.
Yeah.
Couldn't have possibly have anything to do with the missing man that was last seen here.
I know. I guess if you're looking for a man and you see blood on the wall, you can't take.
Slaughtered animal immediately.
No, I'm thinking legal procedure here because you have to have a warrant to go inspect something, and if you didn't have a warrant, you can't do that. You know, you can only say I saw blood, but you can't take a sample of it. You can't do anything unless you have a warrant that says this is what we can do. Da da. But
even better,
I'm just thinking legal procedure.
Even better, the guy, like, he hung around until he was caught. Like, he didn't go anywhere. And the only reason the cops were able to assemble this case together is because, like...
The fisherman.
The arms were showing up.
The fisherman, like, a year... I don't think it was a year later, but it was some time later that the only reason they were able to arrest him is because they started finding pieces of the body. Because you can't arrest someone without a body, right? You can't.
Pieces of a body. Well, I'm thinking of Rookie of the Year quote.
Right.
You guys have a boat? We have wood in the shape of a boat. I want to read more about this story. This is great. Dude's 44.
The neighbors said that they saw him with a mop and a bucket in the hallway of the apartment complex.
The arrest resolves the mysterious discovery of a severed arm found floating in a canal on December 29th.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the guy disappeared around September.
September. So it was like 4 months. It wasn't a year. That was stupid.
It's pretty solid how, like, you can find a whole arm not completely munched on by swamp creatures.
Yeah, and also
The woman, right, who was 51.
She's busted. I told you. I knew she was
51
busted.
51 Cuban?
Horrible.
That's what we're chopping up people over?
Right, and she referred to Portales as Chiquito.
Oh, it's even sooner than that. She said the crazy guy, Perez the Conqueror, on November 8th, asked his ex to let him temporarily move back in, saying he had fallen on hard times, had nowhere else to go. So they let him move back into the apartment. Yeah, he had this plan. He actually moved back in almost right around the time Donald Trump was elected. I'm seeing a pattern here, Stephen. No, he's to blame. Okay, so don't get chopped up, folks. If somebody makes you mad, don't chop them up. Just march in protest down Decatur Street.
That's true.
That's the thoughtful thing to do. Somebody makes you mad, don't chop them up. Just go hang out on the CCC and fuck up afternoon traffic.
Sometimes Young Money can be, like, very blunt. And when I was telling her about this story, she said, that's what cages do. Cut you up. Like,
yeah.
Just very, like, nonchalant.
That's what cages do. Yeah, that's true. How do we handle our issues? Well, we do what we do to the Nutria. Okay, guys, we got an update for your camera tickets. If you were caught by the new mobile traffic cameras, you won't have to pay them this time.
I knew that was coming back. I knew when we first talked about this. I didn't say it, but in my mind I'm thinking, you can't. There has to be a sign that says in clear, plain English that this is a speed zone. I knew that was part of
the
rules.
So if you're busted between January 9th and February 9th, you still got a couple days. You get a warning in the mail, not a ticket. So people, fucking gas it through those school zones. You earn this. This is your reprieve. Now, remember back in the, 2011 or 2012 when the first cameras really came out, the city absolved all the city workers of the tickets they'd gotten. They let them all go scot-free.
Right, and they let everybody go here, too, in the month of...
But this is everybody.
Yeah.
But I got to wonder that the same things are happening behind the scenes where city workers are taking their camera ticket to someone in the office and being like, hey, could you take care of this for me? And, you know, that if you work for the mayor, you're not paying any tickets to a company in Arizona. I guarantee it.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
You're not.
Yeah. So, there you go. The law requires local governments to post signs within 500 feet of a red light camera. How can they? Oh, wait, that's a red light camera.
Right.
That red light camera is, yeah, you're on camera. I've seen those. They're all over the city. But the mobile ones in the car
did not have a thing.
But how do you post a sign for the, like, speed? You're entering a speed camera zone.
Oh. Well, they put, you can see the picture, there was a sign behind the car. But see, that's not good enough because that's too low.
That's absolutely not, I've not seen that sign ever with any mobile camera car.
Right. I mean, but if you got one.
I don't think that sign would even fit inside of a Ford Fusion.
I think they have to put that on top of the car.
But that's not within five or, well, okay, we're talking about two different things. That's the red light camera. These are the mobile speed cameras.
All right. Oh, the mobile speed cameras are cars, right? Like, are they?
Yeah, but how do you put a sign in advance of that?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think you have to just put it on the roof of the car.
Oh, here we go. Carter said the small sign placed at street level behind an unmarked vehicle that warns drivers of speed cameras.
It violates the law.
May violate a.
That violates the law because it's not good enough. So you can't just go sneak camera shit, you know?
So when we posted the picture of the Ford Fusion camera car parked out on Elysian Fields, and everybody was like, that can't possibly be legal.
Ooh, we were right.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's very interesting.
I'm actually happy that Troy Carter got involved here because you know, normally politicians do not give a shit about this, but I think one of his quotes...
Somebody got busted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's one of his quotes. You think one of his cousins got one or something like that? And they were like, Troy, what's
absolutely
up with this? Okay. All right, but that makes
well
sense.
Our camera car thing reached 40-some thousand people.
Yeah. And he
one
says,
of those might work for the city.
Right. I don't think that they, the city, are following the law based on what we have here in current legislation that would require signage to be very visible. And then he said, I don't believe, and I would hate to believe, that the city's intention is to violate the law. I'm hoping this is just one of those cases where, you know, they'll see that they are out of compliance and they'll self-correct. Yes, yeah, cities self-correct.
This is how politicians say, I don't know. Not to my knowledge, sir.
Right.
Not based on what was presented to me.
I would hate to think that the city is breaking the law that they wrote themselves.
Wow. Receive courtesy warning notices in the mail will not be fined. Oh, love it. Wow. Let's see. What else can we dig up in here? Let's see. Some of the... God.
Read the last quote.
The city did not answer questions. The city did not answer questions about whether it believes it is following state law with the warning sign placed on the road. If we're going to use cameras, I would put permanent signs up there that are clearly visible saying there's a camera here checking offenses. That's what Gray said. Okay. If the sign is obscured and not easily read, then one would naturally question, do you really want to deter or do you want to write a ticket to enhance revenue?
Correct.
Boss. I'm glad somebody said this. All it takes is one lawyer to get a ticket.
Oh, and be like, that's
shit storm.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful, folks. Absolutely beautiful.
But not many attorneys know, like, the city ordinance laws, though. It takes a very specific... That's why I think one of his boys probably got hit up and then... Troy Carter probably knows the city's law because he's the state senator that represents that district.
Okay, so it's AFC NFC Championship weekend today.
Oh, there's a huge gambling story out there. Did you hear about this?
What's happening?
These kids from Philly.
Do you think the bread and circuses of this weekend will take everyone's attention away from Donald Trump instituting the Fourth Reich in D.C.? I do love that giant illogical mental leap that everyone seems to make of like, well, the Nazis took over. The Nazis won, everybody.
People are so stupid. Still have three branches of government. We still have checks and balances. This dude did not become president. And
if anything, you're getting a warning in the mail instead of a speed camera ticket. Explain to me again how this is a fascist Reich.
There's a story out of Philly where these two guys took $300, and the Sunday after Thanksgiving, they said, we're going to take this $300, and we're going to bet it on, you know, a particular team every single week and just keep doubling it. Well, they decided to bet Green Bay, and they bet Green Bay their entire eight-game winning streak now, and that $300 is $28,000. And they put the whole fucking $28,000 on Green Bay money line against Atlanta today. That means that they did not take the points, and Green Bay's getting 6.5 points. They bet it straight up. So the $28,000, if they win, is 76.
Ooh.
If I
kind of want to root for Green Bay just while we're going to root against Atlanta anyway.
Right. but if they. What I guess if you think Green Bay is going to go all the way, why wouldn't you just take like $7,000 and just bet Green Bay to win the Super Bowl? Because you're probably going to get like 6-1 odds. And if you lose.
Because you don't bet against Brady.
Right.
Unless it's the Giants.
Right. But if you lose, you're only out 7G because you're not going to pay any juice. And if you win, you know, or if Green Bay gets to the Super Bowl, now you have a way to hedge your bet.
Yeah, that's true.
But these kids are from fucking Philly, and they're idiots.
How did this story get out?
Oh, because they wrote a little article to ESPN, and they're like, check out our winning, like our wagers, because they were going to Vegas to do this. And they showed each week their winning wagers.
Damn.
And they're just like, and it's exponential, because it goes 3, 6, 12, 24, you know, mm-hmm. like. And they're betting Green Bay. No, but the thing is, like, they're getting these huge odds because they're betting Green Bay money line.
Okay, realistically. Sorry. Realistically. Who do you think is going to win the whole shebang?
I got to be honest with you.
We're 2 weeks out today. You can say, out of four teams, pick one.
This Final Four is the best Final Four I've ever seen as far as quarterbacks go. I mean, yeah,
Rodgers,
Brady,
Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Roethlisberger. That is pretty solid. I didn't think about that.
And as far as like,
there could be something to having a good quarterback and making the playoffs. We'll have to look into that further next week.
And I don't know. I mean, if I had to say, I'd probably say Green Bay and the Patriots. I don't like to bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They've been in the AFC Championship 7 of the last 10 years.
You know how great it would
be? That's insane.
I mean, just from my point of view of watching people squirm, to see Tom Brady win another Super Bowl, being an ardent Donald Trump supporter, and then spitting in NFL commissioner's face, Goodell, over that whole Deflategate suspension nonsense. Just like Brady marches on. It's kind of like Tom Brady and the Patriots are the 1% that no matter what happens, they stay the 1%. They never get dethroned. Or it's a good metaphor for how the world is.
Yeah, you think Tom Brady, billionaire, cares about like social issues? No. He's trying to the rich try to stay wealthy. Like the wealthy try to stay wealthy.
He
like,
cares if there's enough gas in the jet.
Right.
To get from Vegas to New York.
Like if Donald Trump becomes president. That's stupid. Sorry, I cut myself there. Right. If Donald Trump passes the legislation that he said he was, he's going to decrease the top individual tax rate down like 4.5%.
That always happens when a Republican's in office.
Right. And I I'm a tax accountant, and our clients for the last 8 years, or no, excuse me, 6, because it didn't take place until 10, have been complaining that they pay way too much in taxes, blah, blah, blah. And some of them blame me. They think I'm doing shoddy work. And some of them are liberal. And I tell them the same thing every time. If you don't want to pay more taxes, vote R. If you don't want to pay more taxes, vote R. I don't know what to tell you.
That's a pretty baseline solution to everything.
I mean, but
I'm still not picking a political party. I'll remain independent, not voting forever. I mean, unless The Rock runs for president.
Oh, The Rock. The Rock could run in the Green Party.
And guess
he could run in the fucking Green Party. I'd vote for him.
I was going to say, like, like you think The Rock would be able to, you know, give him another 10 years? Would be able to sweep in because I've seen him in movies and TV. Oh, he must be a good guy. Rock's wealthy. What do you think Rock's running as? he ain't on your side, snowflakes.
Right. It would be awesome if he became the governor of Florida. He could easily win governor in Florida. Easily.
Oh, I think
if he ran Republican,
that's
he
true.
Absolutely could.
Give him another decade. I'm not putting it past him.
Dude, Donald Trump asking Steve Harvey to be in his cabinet is hilarious. I saw the sign that said IKEA has a better cabinet selection than Donald Trump.
Whoa.
Snap! That was hilarious.
I mean, I guess I agree. That's a good burn. I got to love it.
They were vetting his cabinet position, and this one lady in education, she just answered questions like a moron. She's probably she's a billionaire, though, the director of education. I don't know what her name was. But in her hearing, she just sounded like a complete moron. I'm like, can't you ask somebody if they're, like, cool with interviews before they go? Like, Senate hearings are fucking, like, I'm nervous as shit.
They expose both sides for how dumb they are.
Oh, yeah.
They ask dumb questions, and then the people say things like, oh, not to my knowledge.
Right.
So you don't know. that wasn't included in my briefing.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so we're wrapping up episode 131, NOLA Trash Talk. It's the 22nd of January. Final picks for the championship games today. We want to put it on record.
Pats and Green Bay.
Pats and Green Bay. Myself, that's what I'm going for. I got like 40 seconds here.
Oh, it's okay. If you haven't watched South Park, revisit South Park this past season because the episodes have been phenomenal. Mr. Garrison versus Hillary Clinton. So funny.
Oh, and she's gone. She's gone. And Obama's gone. They're gone.
I know. How are they going to bring them back
home
in
alone?
Episodes?
I made them all disappear. Okay, guys, enjoy some more. This one's for the ladies, actually. For the ladies.
Ladies.
I'm the prophet, Joshua.
And I'm McJeezy.